You know, I look back and I think about all the things that God's been saying to us here lately, and we need to be believing it for every bit of that. Because how many knows He doesn't just come and just fall? Because we have a real enemy, right? We have a real devil. And when you're believing God to come and do the things that He's telling you, the glorious things, and us becoming the glorious church and doing greater works than Him because He said we would, the devil doesn't just lay down. But we've already been given the victory, amen. In Him. Glory to God. I'm just waiting a minute. You know, sometimes it would be pride if I let y'all think every time I got up here I knew everything I was going to do, everything I was going to say. Most of the time I don't absolutely have a clue. I may have something written down that He spoke to my heart this week or something like that. You know, and sometimes I think that's one of the reasons why God doesn't manifest more than what He does. Because sometimes we just come to church, you know, and gather together with our own little agenda, you know, who me or Monty's going to do Sunday school, you know, whatever it is that the Lord says, and then we're going to have our 15-minute break and go do what we do, and we're going to come back, and Travis is going to sing us 3 or 4 songs, you know, and Scotty's going to preach a 15-minute sermon, and we're going to take up the offering. We have to give Him room. Right? To move. You know, I would really like it if we come in here and nobody said or done a thing. Wouldn't that be awesome? That He just come like He did and fill the house when Solomon got the temple built. The Bible says He was so much there in such manifestation, even the priest couldn't even minister because of the glory of the Lord. In His presence, there's no need not fulfilled. I have some things on my heart this morning. Some of it we've already been over, but I felt like some of it the Lord wanted to go over again. I'm trying to get started with that, but I just can't. When you know His voice, it causes you to discern every other voice. So I've been with Scotty nearly 43 years. There's two people that on the phone, I have to listen real close. Or when they say, "Hello, Johnny," they'll fool me. But after "Hello," most of the time I got it. See, if you know His voice and you're His sheep and you do know His voice, and see the thing, you develop your spirit. You develop your spiritual senses. When I hear His voice, I know Him. Why? Because I know Him. That causes me to discern His voice. Well, when you know God, you discern His voice. And when you discern His voice, all others. So you could call me Johnny and I can't see you, but I know you're not Him. Noah could call me and I know he's not Scotty. Why? Because I know His voice. And it causes me to discern every other voice that is not Him. So therefore, knowing God's voice, it causes us to discern the voice of the enemy. And we don't follow Him. And the thing about Him He likes to do is portray Himself as God to you. That's God talking to you. God told you that. Number one, if it doesn't line up with the Word, there's no way it's Him. Travis texts me Friday. Usually they'll text me and I have to make payroll checks, stuff like that. Usually it's Scotty that does it. Well, Travis texts me and he's going to be funny. So he texts me one couple words at a time. And I thought, that's weird. Scotty doesn't do that. That's weird. But I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe he's busy. But then at the last one, he said a phrase, and I knew it was not Scotty. Why? Scotty doesn't say that to me. Now, see, he's writing me a letter, but I know it's not him because of what he says. The devil can quote you scripture. He quoted it to Jesus. The Word Himself, right? But Jesus knew it wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. So He come back with what? Rightly divided truth that He began to quote back to Him. So when we know God's voice, it causes us to discern every other voice.
Another thing that he does, that other than he likes to portray himself as God to you, that God's talking to you, is it's you. I have been exercising something for a pretty good while now, and I've told y'all about it to help y'all if y'all would do it. And some of you may already be, but it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. And it talks about rejoicing in the Lord. You know, Jesus is coming soon. And then it begins to tell us what to think on. It begins to tell us to think on things that is lovely, that is good, that is just, that is true, that is honest, that is virtuous, that is praiseworthy. And I have been exercising. How many knows? You got to exercise it. Your mind belongs to you. God won't control it, but the devil will if you let him, but it belongs to you. You know, and if you've been praying God do something about the devil, you can quit praying that, because he's going to eat your lunch. God's not going to do anything else about the devil than he's already done. The Bible says he gave me and you authority over the devil. And whatever goes on here, on here in the earth or in our life, it's because we allow him to do so. Gosh, y'all real quiet about that. See, we like to think about this, what some call no-fault religion. It's not my fault. Well, whose fault is it? Well, it's God's fault. Well, it can't be God's fault, because he said he gave you the victory already. He gave you all the power and authority over the devil, right? He stripped the devil, right? Made a show of him openly, triumphed over him. I can just see it like parading him down in the parade in the street. So wherever we won't take authority, he will usurp authority, and he doesn't have any because he's an outlaw. But your mind belongs to you. But what the devil likes to do is come and portray that it's you. So I have begun to exercise for a while now, and I'm getting better and better at it, Johnny, and it's getting good. That any thought that comes to me that is not Philippians 4, 4 through 8, it's not God and it's not me. Prideful thought comes to me instantly. I say, that's not my thought, devil, that's yours, and I don't think your thoughts. See, the Bible says cast them down, right? Who's going to do that? Me and you. If we don't, nobody else will. Is it God's will that we be tormented in our thoughts, which if you think them long enough is going to affect your emotions and begin to move you with feelings? It's better to stop a thought before it gets to your feelings, because once it gets to your feelings, it's a lot harder. It's kind of like passing by the cookie aisle at the grocery store instead of in the kitchen, Scotty. So what do we do with these thoughts? Well, you got to meditate on that. You got to meditate. Learn what he said to think on. Because, see, he said, if you'll think on these things, the peace of God, oh, and who don't want the peace of God, that passes all understanding. What that means is you should be tormented. You should be worried. You should be fearful. You should be upset by all this stuff that's going on. But because the peace of God is keeping your heart and your mind in perfect peace, you're not. But see, you have to begin to discern that. Is this thought lovely? If it ain't lovely, cast it down. Is this praiseworthy? If it's not, cast it down. Is it honest? Cast it down. Let's look at, let me tell you something. Now, when I become a Christian, my whole life changed, just like everybody's does to a certain degree. But there came a point in my life to where I was kind of going a little backwards. Well, what do I mean by that? I wasn't pressing like what I used to when I first got saved. So therefore, I was beginning to think and beginning to talk and beginning to act a lot the way that I used to. Now, none of y'all know what I'm saying. So there come a point in time, one day, Scotty got upset at me because of me. It was my fault, something stupid. But anyway, or whatever. And I told him, we was on vacation. This has been, I don't know how many years ago, 7 or 8, I guess. I don't know. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I think when I get home, I'm going to work on me. You're the only one you can and need to work on. Because you can't fix nobody else, but you can fix you. And I told him, I said, when we get home, I said, I think I'm going to work on me. What I meant by that was, I'm going to dive into the Word more than what I have been. And I'm going to yield myself to the Spirit of God more than I have been. Because it's Him that does the work. But how many knows we got to cooperate with Him? He's not a devil, so He doesn't make us. But He'll use, change, rearrange anything that we give Him. Any place, any opportunity, any open door. So therefore, my life began to change again. And then I began to do other things, and my life began to change again. So if your life is not changing, if you seem to not have the victory in places that you used to have it, all it is because you're not doing what you used to do. Or you need to be doing more. How many knows, just like a newborn baby doesn't eat the same thing that a full-grown man does. Don't even eat the same as a 5- or 7-year-old. But how many knows that as you're growing and you're developing and you're maturing, you have to have more of Him. More of His Word. More time with Him. Gosh, y'all getting real quiet on that one. Which leads us to this, I guess. Let's look at John 14. We read this one maybe a week or two ago. But God's not done with that. And hopefully we'll see something in it, in this message that we didn't see before, or greater. Anyway, the title this morning is called The Greater. Here in John 14, verse 21, this is Jesus talking. We know that because it's read. It says, He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Notice this, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's what we want, ain't it? We want to know you more, Lord. We want to see you, Lord. Kind of like Abraham when he said, God, I want to see you. I mean, yeah, it was Abraham. Well, yeah. God, I want to see your glory. I'm coming to the place to where, Johnny, I'm feeling like on the inside, if it kills me, I got to have more of you. I got to see you in a deeper way. But he says there, if we love him and we keep his commandments, right? And he said his commandments, they're not grievous. They're not hard. And the thing about it is, the Bible says it's God that works within us both to will and to do, which means to desire of His own good pleasure. So we're not even doing this alone. But how many knows it's real hard to do it when you got one leg on this side of the fence in the world and you got one over here and you want to live for God? Why? Because they are contrary to each other. They are constantly pulling on one another at all times. Why? The Spirit of God's pulling you to come closer to Him. The world's pulling you to come closer to it, to conform to it, think like it thinks, right? Do what it does. But he says here, if we love him and we keep his commandments, he will reveal himself, and he wants to. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, God corrects those that he loves. Remember last week when we said that the title was God Loves Me? Have y'all been going around saying that? No? Y'all should have. If you haven't been doing it, start doing it. It may feel a little awkward to start with. I mean, you're talking to yourself. That's a good thing if you're saying the right thing. Why? You're the first one that hears you. And we need revelation of this. When I say God loves me, and you say God loves me, it's like, yeah, I know God loves me. No, you don't. It's kind of like I heard Keith Moore one time whenever he said he was sitting at the red light and he had a revelation. He said in if you'd asked him before, he would have told you, well, yeah, sure, God knows more than me. But Johnny's sitting at the red light, and all of a sudden, he has a revelation. God knows more than me. When you get a revelation, it's something in your spirit. It's not in your head. It's in your spirit. It's revealed knowledge to you, and it's greater. It's deeper. See, the Bible says in 1 John 4:18 that perfected, matured, brought to completion the love of God will cast out all fear. Cast it out. You might say, well, I don't have any. Well, I would probably beg to differ. And the thing about it is, even if you might not have none, the enemy comes. And he lies. And he tells all kinds of lies. How many in here that it wouldn't bother you at all if your kids had no love or affection for you whatsoever? Not a one of you? All of y'all want your kids to love you? Care about you? What if the devil come and started telling you that he didn't? That they didn't? And their actions look like they don't? And you start being tormented. It's fear, Sandy. Thought you didn't have none. Oh, but what if you've been married for over 40 years and he comes and tells you the one that you've loved for over 43 years, he doesn't love you? That's tormenting. That happened to me this week. And I'm doing all I can, seems like, to fight this, to cast these thoughts down. And every time he would say it, and it looked like his actions are proving it, you know, because he's a busy guy, but anyway. And I'm doing all that I can, but I'm looking for the weapon, Johnny, the sword of the Spirit that the Holy Ghost wields. Because, see, I don't know. Just like Jesus, it wasn't just Jesus that was fighting, combating the enemy there whenever he was fasting and praying. Y'all remember when the devil came to him to tempt him? Why, he said, I never say anything that I don't hear my Father say. So that tells me he did not say that stuff by his own. But it's the Holy Ghost's job to bring the Word back to our remembrance, right? Well, this had went on, I don't know, probably a day and a half or something. And on the inside, I'm looking. There has got to be a key that stops this. I know it. All of a sudden, I heard my own voice, which was the Holy Ghost bringing back to you. Y'all ever hear somebody's voices that you heard preaching or something or another? That's the Holy Ghost. That's not you. And all of a sudden, I heard my own voice, and it said, it's not your job to be concerned about whether or not your husband or wife loves you. That was the key, Johnny. And I said it out of my mind. It doesn't concern me. I'm not to be concerned whether Scotty loves me or not. My job is to make sure that I'm loving him. And when I said that and I begin to act on that, right in here come the joy of the Lord, and that torment was gone. Why? I'm perfecting that. We want him, he says, those that he loves, he corrects. Why does he correct us? Because he loves us. Why would you tear your kid's tail up if they've been out in that street three times and you done told them? If you don't love them, then you don't care. Right? You just let them go wherever, do whatever. Why? You can't be bothered with them. God cares for us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, affectionately. So what's he do? He corrects us because he loves us. Now, let's look at Hebrews 12:14 talks about us pursuing consecration and holiness, and it says, without it, no man shall see the Lord. Now, didn't we just get the, don't think about that when you get to heaven. Because we just got through reading there in John 14 that if we love him and keep his commandments, he'll do what? Manifest and reveal himself to us. The one translation, make himself very, very clearly seen by us. Well, he says, without consecration and holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I want to see him, don't you? Not when I get, I want to see him now. Let's see here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, the pure in heart shall see God. Not when you get to heaven. Everybody that gets there will see him then. Everybody's not going to see him now, though, but we can. He says, the pure in heart, what's that mean? The wholehearted toward him. You're not halfway trying to indulge your flesh, tacking the name of Jesus on everything. Y'all come on. That's one reason why a lot of us have a lot of the problems that we do. But he says the pure in heart, what's that? No mixture, you're wholehearted toward him. I didn't say you're perfect in the flesh and everything you do is completely perfect and right and flawless and all that, but your heart is wholehearted toward him. I want you, God, and that's all I want, and wherever I'm not measuring up to that, help me, because it's the desire of my heart, right? But he says the pure in heart, they're the ones that's going to see God. Let's look at Psalm 24. You done got it up, Beth? Let me just read it from there because I don't want to take a lot of time on this. We actually have a song that came from this verse right here. It says, who shall go up into the mountain of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and what? A pure, a wholehearted heart toward God, who has not lifted himself up to falsehood or to what is false, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, let me see what I got wrote down here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen for us. Glory to God. Don't you just love him this morning? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. He says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them. Jesus said for us to take upon his yoke, right? Then that's what we do. We can't take a yoke with the world. He says, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? There is none. He says, or how can light have fellowship with darkness? It absolutely cannot. It doesn't matter how dark a room is. You come and turn on the light and you've never seen it wrestle with the light. No, it instantaneous has to go. Why, they have no fellowship. There's nothing in common with them. He goes on here. What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, which means the devil? There is none, right? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? There's none. Excuse me. You might think, well, I like chocolate ice cream, and so-and-so, they're not saved, and they like chocolate ice cream. He's not talking about that. How many knows a born-again person that's been born again by the Spirit of God and a person that has not been born again by the Spirit of God, you are not the same. One of you is dead according to Scripture, right? We was dead in our trespasses and our sins, the Bible says. And one of you have been regenerated, have been made new, recreated right in your spirit. So therefore, you have nothing in common whatsoever. You might have like the same kind of shirt, the same kind of ice cream, but that's not what he's talking about. When it comes to light and darkness, truth and lies, you have nothing, absolutely nothing in common. Your morals are not even the same. Your desires are not the same. Nothing is the same. Well, they're a good person. I don't care. He goes on and he says, what agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? Buddy, y'all read the Old Testament? Y'all look back in the Old Testament. That's one thing, buddy, got God upset real quick, was bringing them idols to the temple of God. Y'all remember Dagon, don't you? That false god that they set up there and they come back and he's knocked over. They set him back up and they come back again. He's broke apart. God don't like that. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God. He goes on, he says, for we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them and will walk in and with and among them. This is the desire of God's heart. And it's mine and yours too, right? And I will be their God and they shall be my people. So come out from among unbelievers and sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these great promises, thank you, Lord, are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. Now, I wrote down some things here. It's the will of God that He come and dwell in and among and through us. We just read it. That's not the only place that He says it. And we say that it is the desire of our heart, right? Personally, we want God. And God is in here. I'm not saying He's not in here. But He's not always manifesting to the degree that He wants to. Or even that we want Him to. And see, sometimes we think it's God that's not doing it. And we keep praying for it. But it's not God that's not doing it. And it's not God that's not wanting to. Sometimes there's things that He can't. Just like whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, especially Adam. When your son or daughter gets hurt, what's the first thing you want to do? Run and grab them up, right? Comfort them. God couldn't do that, Johnny. I'm sure He wanted to because He is love. But He couldn't. Why? He would have destroyed him. Y'all not saying nothing. Not because He wanted to, but because of His greatness, of His power, of His justice, of His righteousness. So therefore, He had to put him out of the garden to protect him. But He had done made a way that he could come back close again through Jesus Christ, right? And He tells us today, look, there's things that's contaminating mine and your relationship. Listen, if Scotty had a side chick, me and him are not cool. Y'all know what I mean by that, don't you? Some of y'all older ones or whatever. Girlfriend, whatever you want to call it. Floozy, whatever. We would not be okay. God's the same way. The Bible says He's a jealous God. He wants all of us, and He wants to give us all of Himself. So there's sometimes things that it can be contaminating. Sometimes it can be people. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. But you don't understand. They're my family. The Bible says we're to love Him more than we love our husbands, our wives, our children. He says if we don't, we're not worthy of Him. Not that they're bad people necessarily. Maybe they're unbelievers and they're influencing you as an antichrist spirit. What's that mean? Anything that opposes the will of God in our lives is what that antichrist spirit is. It's not just a person like a lot of people think. It runs to and fro the earth today. It has since the beginning. So they may be good people, but we just got through reading. Don't be unequally yoked together with them. Don't mean you can't talk to them. Don't mean you can't witness to them. Don't mean you can't be good to them or whatever. What's it mean? Don't hang out with them. I mean, in God, Scotty, through God, God through Scotty has been, I don't know, what, three or four services giving us that psalm over there that said, don't sit in the council of the ungodly. And we want to get on Facebook and ask people what they think about what we should do. God help us. But see, it would cost us something to find out from God. Cut it all off. Seek Him. Read and study the Word. Listen. I need an answer now, but you're going to get the wrong one on Facebook. And you better be real careful with that God don't take that as an idol before Him. I don't care what anybody thinks I ought to be doing but Him. Because He says if I please Him, He'll cause even my enemies to be at peace with me. And He says He ordains and orders my steps because I am the righteous and because I have been made the just. And they are good. And when I'm in them, He's with me. And if He's with me, there ain't nothing and nobody can prevail against me. Are you either? That's not just for me. But sometimes those corrupting influences can be people. Kids at school. Oh, here we go. Sometimes there's such a desire to be liked. to not be made fun of, not to be the different. But see, God's people has always been the different. And they're still the different. Not that we're better than or greater than, but we're different. But see, there's this pull on the inside of us sometimes that we want to be like everybody else. We want to fit in. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. But see, if you get close enough to Him and let Him love you and let Him put His seal approval on you, it doesn't matter if... He says, even if your mama and your daddy forsake you, He will not. And on the inside, there's nothing worth that. No amount of praise or friendship that you could have with people at school or work or anywhere else could take the place of that when you have it. So sometimes it can be people, and you just need to cut them off. I didn't say you couldn't talk to them, but you can't hang out with them. You can't laugh at their disgusting jokes and get in the rebellious things that they do. Why, it's going to contaminate you. You're not going to have the presence of God like what you say you desire. Sometimes it's phones. That was a good thing when they came out with the cell phone. Did a lot of great things. Still does. Great things that you can do with the internet. You got a question, Google's got an answer. Somebody's made that cake before. Or it can be so corrupt. It's like money. Money's not good or bad. It's the person that has it. All the internet and that cell phone does is amplify who and whatever your desires are. And sometimes it may not be anything necessarily that's bad. But how many knows 4 or 5 hours of marketplace? God, we quiet. Facebook. Videos. Cat videos. That would be mine. I like to watch some cat videos, you know, where they're smacking each other and somebody's like refereeing or what. Those are funny. Anyway, 4 or 5 hours of cat videos. And 10 minutes of prayer. And I say I love Him. It's corrupting me, Sandy. It's keeping me from the greater. It's not God keeping me from the greater. It's me keeping me from the greater. Right? So sometimes it can be cell phones. Oh, and y'all not saying much. And good Lord, I don't even know how many games is on them things. And you can even download games on them. I downloaded a couple on mine. It's that crossword puzzle thing. The doctor said they thought if I would do some of that, that would help with the head thing that I was having or whatever. I don't do them anymore. But anyway, I mean, do you understand? It doesn't necessarily have to be bad. But things that is corrupting you, things that is sucking up your time, you can work too much. And the Bible says every man's got work to do. We're supposed to have work to do. But how many knows God's not going to give you work to do that's not going to leave time for Him? Absolutely not. So if your job is taking up too much time, maybe you're spending too much time when you're not on your job on something else. I don't know. It's not for me to tell you. But all over the place, there's things that are pulling on us all the time. But yet then when we do pray, oh God, we want You and more of You. He's telling us how to get it because He wants to. Why? Because He loves us. Thoughts. We went over that a while ago. Thoughts. I'm telling you, there's some people that are so negative, if they had 2 positive thoughts in a row, their brain would be in an absolute cramp. And they're born again. I'm serious. And it is annoying to be around people like that. And they're tormented. Why? You can't think negativity day and night and be in peace. You cannot. You can't think on fearful thoughts, worrying constantly. People say, well, I don't know how to meditate on the Word. Yes, you do. If you have ever worried about anything or anyone, you know absolutely how to meditate on the Word of God. And the Bible says if we will meditate on the Word of God, we'll make our way prosperous and we will have good success. And we'll be in peace at the same time. Plus getting revelation of whatever Word that we're meditating on. So sometimes it's just your thoughts. You need to control your thoughts. And I'm telling you, when you first start, if you've never done it or you've just been doing a little bit, it can be a little bit overwhelming to start with. Because sometimes you need to just walk in on yourself. You know what I'm talking about? Just walk in on yourself and catch yourself what you're thinking on. Well, I don't think bad thoughts very much. Well, I beg to differ, because we hear a lot of what's coming out of your mouth, and it originated with your thoughts. Because the Bible says that whatever a man says, it originated out of his heart. And do you understand your ear gates and your eye gates is a gateway to your heart? That's why the Bible says guard it. Sometimes it can be TV, movies. That's one of the things that God dealt with me about. And he didn't tell me that I had to. The Bible says in, Romans 12, 1? It says, present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service, wholly acceptable unto Him. How many knows God wants you to be a willing sacrifice? He don't want one on the altar that's kicking and screaming and trying to chew the cords in two. He wants one that loves Him. And we want to not have these things in our life because we want Him greater. So for me, I tell the Lord, okay, God, I'm going to watch this kind of TV and that's it. That's it. Movies might not be your thing. Maybe something else, and that ain't for me to tell you. But every one of us have got something somewhere. And how many knows there's some things you just don't need to see? Now, I wasn't watching porn or nothing like that or what. But there's some things, Sandy, is not beneficial for me to see. It's not good for me to just to sit and watch them just blow legs and everything everywhere for a half a day. I mean, and I'm telling you, them horror movies. Oh, my goodness, the scarier, the better. I'm telling you. Now, I don't like zombie movies. That's just stupid to me. But, I mean, maybe you like zombie. Oh, you like zombie movie, do you? I mean, there's this, anyway. But, I mean, the scarier, the better. And I seen one they come out with. I think it comes out this month. The Conjuring Rites or something other. I thought, I will not watch that. Just won't do it. So y'all not saying nothing. Why? There's just some things I don't need to see. I mean, there's just some things you just don't need to hear. Why? It's bad seed. And whatever you get in your heart, it's going to grow, whether it's good or bad. Oh. The closer we get to Him, the more peace and joy we're going to have. Let's look at 2 Timothy here. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, you love us. I just been trying to, and sometimes it's got words just coming out now. Just coming out now, thank you, Lord, that you love me. So the Bible says, Galatians 5, 6, faith works by love. Oh, I'm having a revelation of that, Johnny, like I've never had before. See, when you know God loves you, it clears up a lot of stuff. Lot of questions where people pray and says, Lord, if it be thy will. I found out, Johnny, I'm healed because God loves me. Oh, and when I have that and I believe that, guess what it does to my faith? Bam! I'm prosperous because God loves me. I'm saved because God loves me. I'm blessed because God loves me. See, people wonder. I know I heard somebody that God had did something for them, and they're like, why would He do that? Because, see, they was condemned and felt so unworthy, see, the devil. And then you try to have faith. You get the word, and you just pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it, and wrestle with the devil. But then when you really know God loves you, that's why He does it. That's why He already provided it. It just puts an energy to your faith that it's like, bam, I wasn't worthy, but God loves me, so He did it anyway, because He is love. Where are we going, 2 Timothy? It's like I got two messages going on the inside. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 19. And I'm going to read this in I think it's the Amplified. I got it. Yeah. It says, but the firm foundation of laid by God stands, sure and unshaken, bearing this seal inscription. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names himself by the name of the Lord give up all iniquity and stand aloof from it. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the Master, fit and ready for any good work. I want to be in that one, don't you? See, just like this, everybody in here, you may be born again. But I don't know about y'all, but I want to be like Peter. I want to be close, so close to God and have so much of Him in me. People, they just get in the proximity of my shadow and they're healed. Not because of me. He said, we'd do greater works, Johnny. And I believe Him. And I'm believing for those greater works. I want those greater works, not for me. None of the works is for me. But that's what He's saying. Let's go on here. He says, shun youthful lust and flee from them, and aim at and pursue righteousness, all that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed. And aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony and concord with others and fellowship with all Christians who call upon the name out of a pure heart. There it is again. A wholeheartedness to Him. I think that's all I was going to read through. That one was the 22. But notice that what he says. We all may be saved, but some of us may just be fit for box toting. Now, come on now. And that's not the will of God. Well, what am I saying about this? God has great plans and wants to use every single one of us in a great and mighty way. We just read how He wants to be in, through, and in us, and fill us, right, and dwell among us, and all that He wants to. But what He's saying is, cleanse ourselves from these things that would contaminate us. It's cut off things that sucking up our time that we could spend more time with Him, right? Because how many knows, you will become like whoever you hang around. In the natural and also in the spirit. And that's all that He's saying. So I want to be a vessel of honor. I want the precious. Let's look at... The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let's look at Matthew 13 right quick. I just got a couple of minutes left. And see, this is not a bad thing. This is good. Oh, this is so good. Let's see, I got this Amplified. I'm going to start reading in verse 44. Jesus is telling us what the kingdom's like. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious, right? Oh, glory to God. He said, that's buried in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy, y'all say that, joy? Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has, and he buys that field. Didn't nobody make the man do it? The treasure that he found in that field, Sandy, he didn't want nobody else to get it. I gotta have it. So he went and he got rid of everything that he had just to come and purchase this field so he could have the treasure. And it gave him great joy to do it. He goes on here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls. Do you get what it's saying? The kingdom is precious. The kingdom's like treasure. It's like precious pearls. It says, who on finding a single pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and he bought it. He goes on and he says, in the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, which we know that it goes out and it catches all different kinds. But notice there, it gave that guy great joy to do it. It's a priceless treasure of great value, such a price tag that we put on the kingdom. Do you? Do we? What kind of price tag do we put on the kingdom of God? On God Himself? On the anointing? On the precious? See, we can have all the money, the fame, the clothes, the houses, live a good life, not go through too much trouble. But that's not the precious, Samantha. It's His presence. It's God Himself. It's the anointing. It's the revelation. It's the wisdom. All God's things, it is the precious. And if we will give up all of the things of this world and that this flesh can desire, for Him, He gives us back all these things. Right? Just like whenever the rich young ruler come to Him and He told him, He said, "What do I got to do?" He said to him, "Get the kingdom." Y'all remember that, right? What did Jesus tell him? "Go, sell all you got, give it to the poor, and you come and you follow Me." I don't believe Jesus was asking him to take a vow of poverty, because that wouldn't be in line with the Word. Wouldn't be in line with what Jesus told Peter and the rest of them when Peter spoke up and said, "Lord, we've done all this." What did He tell them? He said, "You'll get 100-fold in this life and eternal life." That's exactly what He would have given to the rich young ruler. But the rich young ruler was too tied to the things that he had, to the influence and the power that all of that money and the things that could give him. He wasn't willing to give it up to go and follow Jesus. But if we'll be willing in our hearts to give up all of it, to follow Him because we love Him, then He will pour back, and it'll be the blessing, Samantha, not those things that would try to take us away from Him. And it'll be the precious. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share or comment or anything before we close? All right, we'll recess till 11.